Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Well, as another New Zealand Music Month comes to a close, we've seen another wave of artists and new albums. But how many of them will ever make money? Well, that's the theme of this year's Music Month Summit, how to make money from music. And here to discuss the seminar that they've delivered, Stephen O'Hoy from Amplifier and Jan Helregel from Native Tongue Publishing. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi there.
It seems to me that the whole way that you make money from music these days has changed. You don't make money by selling records anymore, do you? Is that a fair comment, or do you?
You do. No, definitely you do.
That's wrong. That's the end of that.
But it's one of only a handful of ways that you can make money. And I think that's what the seminar yesterday concentrated on, was looking at the varied ways that an artist can make money these days. I mean, there's been a hell of a lot of talk in the media about how the sales of recorded music are going down. But I mean, if you look at it, it's probably going down at the top end. For your average independent artist in New Zealand, it's pretty well much going to be the same as it ever has.
When you say recorded music, though, you're not necessarily talking about a tangible disc in your hand or a record, are you?
No. I mean, you have to look at it from the point of view that the largest retailer of music in New Zealand now is iTunes. So it's not a CD, but then that also has extra added benefits that if you're looking to release your music, you now don't have to worry about the cost of having to press, 2,000, 5,000 CDs that may never sell, of having to get all the inserts printed as well, of having to worry about the getting yourself into the distribution networks to actually get your CD out to the stores as well.
Or the ignominy of being in a bargain bin. I don't know that iTunes has a bargain bin as such, does it?
We have several different price levels that we can set. But it's not like going into JB and seeing that CD that you sweated over for 4 years for $2.99.
There are two sides, obviously, to the online. There's the fact that, like you say, physical sales may be down, but it's easier for an independent artist to get some attention. Like if someone was going to tour here, rather than send a single out to a radio station, which might used to be the way, you can put up a YouTube clip or a link to a song.
Yes.
And so with
very good comment.
But with that, is there money in that, or is that simply a marketing tool?
I mean, basically, you've now got a more democratic method of getting your stuff out there, but that brings with it problems again. I think iTunes, last I heard, has a catalogue of about 14 million tracks. YouTube is getting, what was the number that I saw today? 48 hours worth of video uploaded every, minute or something.
Crazy. It's more than you can watch, is all we need to know. Yeah,
basically. Yeah. But that means that, okay, you can get it out there, but how do you get noticed? How do you actually get people to know that your track is one of those 14 million up there? How do you get your video to be watched on YouTube? And I think the creativity of it has changed a little bit. You really have to be unique. And if you have a look at some of the videos that have actually had great success on YouTube for Kiwi artists recently, they haven't been the amazingly slick videos, with the $20,000 or $50,000 budget. They've been disaster radios, Gravy Rainbow. Jay Geek and the Geek's Maori Boy, which last time I looked, that had over 500,000 views.
Massive.
And the single went top 40 as well.
I'm a Maori sitting in the sand. Got no money, I don't understand. Do I ever get annoyed? Because I'm a Maori, I'm a Maori boy.
So you're now kind of getting into a thing where you have to really, really stand out. You have to have something unique.
Jan, you run Native Tongues Publishing. Now, one of the reasons that a musician might sign up with a publishing company, one of the hopes that they have is that you might find other revenue streams for them. How is that sort of going?
Really good. We're having some real successes with placements of songs and overseas TV shows and things. We do a lot of local work with television programs here and with agencies for TVC commercials, TV commercials or online commercials. Online's really increasing as a media.
How does it work when you're trying to sell a song, and so for example, I know, you know, you watch something like a show like Weeds, for example, there was a Black Seeds song on one of the various very early episodes.
Yeah.
Presumably you're selling to an overseas network that's never heard of the artist and probably never heard the song. Is that quite a hard ask?
Well, we've got some really good networks established already in these territories. So we've, Native Tongue's been around for a number of years. And in that time, we've got direct contacts with places that are in direct contact with some of the biggest supervisors in the States or in each territory. So what we do is we just make sure songs are put in front of the right people. So we just constantly sort of marketing songs,
but
basically.
They are hearing it cold, though, aren't they? They're not going, oh, yeah, I remember that one from the radio, or that's an old classic, or anything like that.
Interesting thing about overseas placements is they don't actually care if it's from New Zealand. In fact, we don't go around saying these are New Zealand songs. We put songs out there because they're good, and they're chosen for that particular show because it's the right sound, and they're good other reason.
The point I'm getting to, though, is they're not choosing these songs because they're familiar. So what are the criteria that people often choose these songs? Or it just has to fit a mood?
Honestly, it's, you know, it could be many things. It could be square, round, wide sounding. You just don't know what brief is going to come through. Mm. 3/4, sad, slow, happy, about the sun, about blowing your nose. You know, it's just unbelievable. There's no template for it. I wouldn't recommend to anyone to write songs specifically to get syncs.
I'm glad you said that, because I wanted to ask if we're maintaining our diversity within New Zealand music. There was some criticism of New Zealand On Air when they had such a strong commercial element to their funding requirements. Is that becoming a problem these days as well, or are we still maintaining the diversity that we're well known for?
Diversity is natural, and it doesn't matter what market you're in. You're always going to have artists who will be writing to get onto radio, to certain format radios. You'll have artists that are writing for their audience, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we're quite fortunate in this country that we do have the diversity of sounds.
We started off discussing that you can still make money from a recorded piece of music, whether it's a physical copy or a copy sold via iTunes or what have you. What percentage of that do you think would that make up? I mean, obviously it's going to vary between artists, but when you're saying, are you saying 20% of your stuff should come from selling it, 20% comes from live, 5% comes from merch? What else goes into that toolkit?
How long is a piece of string?
Yeah, exactly. But what else goes into that makeup? And when you've got a reasonably established band, how do the sort of numbers tend to settle?
I think that's a Jan question. You're a reasonably established band.
Loads of ways. I mean, it's the good thing about recording and releasing now, because I've been doing it for a while, is that I've never made money out of music ever. Okay, I've had a few app royalty checks, which have been really fun. I buy some shoes with them, but the thing is, even with a big record company and stuff, doesn't necessarily mean you're instantly going to be getting an income from music. So,
for a lot of people, the advance is the first and last bit of money they see from a record company.
Yeah, definitely. And so, but now, I'm just really enjoying the fact that I've got lots of different income streams. It could be from online, it could be from record sales, live performance, live royalties. Syncs, anything. So I'm actually really enjoying that process. However, I'm a bit lucky because I had an established name when I released recently. It's just a bit of a change of the way things are doing it, and everyone's working quite positively towards it, rather than sort of saying it's all gloom and doom.
You also don't necessarily need a record label, and with respect to Adam and Ben, who are at the seminar talking with us yesterday, we now have a lot of artists who are doing it for themselves and are doing it quite successfully. Lady Six, her album, and she's had a top 10 single for about 6 or 7 weeks now with Like Water.
Someone like Tiki Tane, who's sort of running all of his businesses himself.
Yep, Tiki as well, and Fat Freddy's. And you can bring in people like our company and Rhythm Method and some of the independent promo people to help you out to do it, to get through it, without having to look at having a massive recoupables account with a label.
Then you see examples like Avalanche City, who wrote an album, released it for free, on the internet, created a website, let people have it for free, and it was popular enough, and I think the sync on TV2's promo of Love, Love, Love helped, that he then got picked up by a major and released, and suddenly people were expected to buy the physical copy of the CD that had been given away. It's a strange time, isn't it?
Oh, I just love it.
What do you think, that is there a disadvantage now for musicians that aren't perhaps marketing minded, or don't have that extra little thinking outside the square thing?
It comes back to what we were saying earlier about the ability to actually get yourself noticed, yeah. And that is part of the battle today.
If you sort of had one piece of advice for say there's a band listening to this who are going, okay, we've got our first song, it's ready to go. I mean, is there one single piece of advice in the industry today as to how to make that work for you?
Stunned silence.
If there was, everyone would be doing it. Yeah. The one thing that I would always recommend to anyone creating any sort of music is write the best music that you can. And if you really want to go into the music industry to make money, then perhaps
study law.
Yeah. Study something that can. I writing good songs.
Yeah.
But boils down to that. So, and get really good at your craft and be the best you can possibly be, and see what happens.
Thank you both for your time.
Pleasure.
And that was Jan Helriegel and Stephen Ahoy talking about making money in the current New Zealand music market. Coming up after the break, Kids in Space.